That time of lament of the loss, but also that celebration with the family, that the time was over of suffering, and that we could remember her well and rejoice with one another in her memory and in that moment. It still remains. We gather to celebrate whatever it is that is before us. And on Palm Sunday, this is one of those celebrations. You see, before it was Palm Sunday, it was the week of Passover, Pesach, this time when people gathered from all over Israel, one of the major feasts, and it was a party. Trying to relate to it today is a little bit hard. I don't know where your era is. For some, they may think of the party of the century, when Truman Capote brought together princes and princesses and writers and all these people for the first time at a black and white gala. You see that imitated time and time again as these different social classes come together to rejoice. For some of you, it may be something like Mardi Gras, one of those aberrations of Lent, Fat Tuesday, maybe for all the wrong reasons, but you see this festival of hedonism where people gather around to just celebrate being alive and to feast with one another. Maybe for some of you, significance of such a gathering can only be visually accessed when we look at the beauty of the Muslims and their gathering around the Kaaba for the Hajj, and one of the five pillars of Islam as they circumambulate that seven times in their white cloths, and millions gather there to commemorate that time. Maybe here in America, it may be something like an inauguration where people want to be present at that time of significance, to see that change of power, to celebrate, to mourn wherever people are. It is a time of coming together in the change. You see, when Jesus gathered, the temple was in all of its remodeled glory from Herod. And people speculate, historians, whether it was 5 to 25 times the amount of the population would descend, or rather ascend up to Jerusalem. Some say estimates as high as 3 million people were there during this week to be present to the temple for this offering of the Lamb in memory of the Exodus. And so people would be on a journey to get here. There would be feasting when they arrived. And we have to remember that the Jewish people were a people who partied. In the wisdom literature, it talks about how we need to eat, drink, and be merry. They had jubilees where everybody for a whole year got together, rested from all that labor so they could be together in a feast. Several other major feasts throughout the year, a Sabbath feast every week where the whole family gathered. They were a people who got together to lift up a joyful word to the Lord. In fact, Deuteronomy 14 talks about bringing the tithes before the Lord, and it says this. It says, use the silver from the tithe to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And do not neglect the Levites living in your towns, for they have no allotment. It was a time of sharing, a time of joyfully rejoicing before God, a time of feasting. And so those on Passover have this in their memory. They're coming up to Jerusalem. In fact, they came up there with such frequency and so widespread that 14 psalms in the psalm book are for this ascent up to Jerusalem. Psalm 120 to 134, they would sing on the road and join in with one another. But this week had some other significance as well. When we turn in John right before this passage of Palm Sunday, we see that Jesus was already at Bethany. People heard that he was there, and they heard about what Jesus had priorly done with Lazarus and bringing him back from the dead. So they went up to Bethany to see what's going on. Much like we rubberneck when something is going on, or we want to go to where an event transpired to just be close to the significance, they gathered. And what they found there was Jesus, and what we know now through the details of Scripture, that Mary already began that celebration, taking an extravagant gesture of taking the perfume and anointing Jesus, just knowing that there was something grand going on in that moment. And so the significance is building on top of what was before, but it was also an inauguration. You see, the waving of the palms, and I don't have them anymore, so I'll use my hands. The waving of the palms we see from the other Gospels, that it's Son of David, blessed is the King. And we see that they see in Jesus the possible Messiah. And this is the significance of this cannot be lifted up enough. You see, just a couple hundred years before, when the Maccabees were able to defeat Antiochus Epiphanes and reclaim the temple and reclaim the priesthood and reclaim Judah to be its own place, Israel, they waved the palm branches as the Judas Maccabees, the hammers, came in. On top of this, they're singing psalms from Psalm 118, the end of the Passover psalms, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And in it, there's a messianic expectation. Save us, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Jesus goes and gets a donkey. And I'm sure not everyone had it pieced together at the time, but that's what David wrote in. That's what Zechariah said the new king of Israel that would free them would ride on. And so all this expectation and celebration is coming together. Bits here, pieces over there. It may be limited in what they understood, but all were coming together in celebration, throwing their robes out, singing praises to the king. You see, joy, like suffering, is one of those great equalizers in this world. We come together in these moments. And friends, that's why celebration is one of the spiritual disciplines. We don't talk about it enough, and we should have more party planning committees in churches, because it's something where we bring the joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah says. The beginning of the Gospels is good news of great joy that angels sing out. Jesus, at the end of his prayer discourse here on Holy Thursday, or on Maundy Thursday, he says, my joy may be in you and it may be complete. God wanted us to celebrate. You see, these spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about for the past couple weeks are ways for us to connect with the Father through the teaching and work of Jesus, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're not ends in themselves, but they get us to that moment so we can leave them behind as we are in God's presence. We've named many of them before: prayer and fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service. The list goes on. Those mechanisms by which we take our bodies and our minds and our hearts and align them with God over time, so that we can, when needed, connect to God the Father. And in this time when we can't gather in corporate worship, it's critical that we're able to find ways to connect with a good God. It's hard, but still we must celebrate. Dallas Willard says that celebration is the completion of worship. We're giving it all to God, but we join in rejoicing in the works. He goes on to say it's a time when we enjoy ourselves, our lives, our world, in conjunction with a faith and confidence with God, who is great, who has beauty, who is faithful, who is good. And in that, we can lift up a party to end all. It is what Scripture is pointing to, the wedding supper of the Lamb, this great party where all people from all nations gather together to sing praises to our God and to just say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It is something that we do naturally. It is something we all experience, but so much more so when it comes from the truth and love of God. Feasting and drinking, singing and dancing, telling stories and letting our imagination dance on each of those. In Scripture, we see Miriam burst out in song as they exit the Red Sea. We see Deborah in her victory singing out a song. Hannah in her gratitude singing out a song. David in his worship dancing until he becomes more undignified than we can imagine. And then we see Jesus, the one they called the wine bibber, the glutton, because he went to feast and party with people. He wanted to be present to that joy and help people see there's a lasting joy that can sustain more than just those elements. His first miracle was bringing more wine to a party that already drank all the wine. He wants us to celebrate. He wants us to find ways to enjoy things for their own sake. Friends, I hope you're able to do that now, because what we can control and access is not what it once was. I had a friend in ministry who told me about another friend who every 1,000 miles his car went would stop, find some rocks on the side of the road and set up an altar of thanks to God and do a dance to just say, thank you, God, for letting my car get through another 1,000 miles. I have seen at worship with youth in concerts them going from praise and being entertained to worshiping themselves to celebration. I remember a guy who just always had to be stoic in the background, but in the moment when 10th Avenue North called out that it's not just a show, but it's crying out, Abba, Father, we are with you. And you can celebrate with others singing and dancing. It is an amazing feeling to be in those moments where you just transcend whatever is going on in our hearts. This is the good news that we have as we draw closer to Jesus. For some of you, you may find it in the Psalms in this time, acknowledging that we're not where we think we should be. But even there, God promises redemption. Psalm 30 says, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and be not silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Friends, we don't have to be careful for anything when we trust in the sustenance of the Lord. We can surround ourselves with the good things God has for us. Give thanks every day and celebrate in this. As we align all these spiritual disciplines, this celebration is so key. Because it's just good to see others. It's good to not just experience ourselves in worship, but share that good news however we can. And I hope you continue to do it. And I'm excited to see ways you continue to celebrate. Put them in the comments. Share with us. Share with others as we find these new rituals of celebration. And remember to do it not just virtually, but bodily. Dance, sing, eat, feast, whatever it is that you can do to rejoice in these days, especially as we know the Sunday that's coming and the good news of the resurrection. I pray that wherever you are, you have a party. But this celebration should not be faked, and it should not be forced. God wants us to dance from the depths of our soul. I remember in college a poster that says 365 reasons to party. And in college, there's people with, oh my goodness, some wonderful joy. Not always responsible, but they have great joy and they celebrate. But some of that partying, that celebration, has a hollowness to it. It's sort of self-centered in what can I get out of this, what enjoyment I can get. And that's not what we're talking about here, because that comes with a hangover. That comes with a distance that we don't want to be about. And that's a reminder for Palm Sunday as well. You see, Palm Sunday is kind of an incomplete celebration. Those same people singing, Hosanna, Lord, save us, were saying, crucify him by Friday. You see, they wanted something out of it for themselves. They wanted to know that if they needed it, that Jesus could raise them from the dead, or Jesus could heal them, and they could go back doing their own thing. But praise God, Jesus would not leave it at that. You see, Richard Foster's great book, Celebration of Discipline, ends with celebration, because it says celebration is what sustains all of the other disciplines. He talks about how joy of the Lord comes from being disciplined in obedience. And it's in that obedience that we can have true celebration, because we don't need to decide for ourselves anymore what we need to be about. But we can be faithful to the Father who wants to love us and to love through us. You see, Jesus had this same joy, and he went through Holy Week. Keep reading through this passage in John, and you'll see Jesus wrestling with the weight of this moment, not being sure, and talking about how a grain needs to fall into the ground and die so that it can bear fruit for others. He could have just taken the fame and gone on to be some sort of king or prophet that everyone worships, but he cared too much about you, about people around the world, to let that limited success and joy, that circumstantial one, be something. And so he challenged the Pharisees and the chief priests, who were too good for the crowd, who were too good for this common celebration with his teachings of truth, of love, and of holiness. You see, God so loved the world that he sent his Son for what we're going to talk about this week, to confront evil on its grandest terms, and the evil in each one of us, so that we may be free to follow him, so that we may be free to rejoice with him, so that we may be free from the sins that keep us down, that all may come to believe. And I hope you know that and see that this week as we join billions around this world in this journey of Holy Week. You see, Psalm 30 also says that sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Friends, if you want to get to the light, you have to go through the darkness. The suffering may be hard, but there is rejoicing on the other side. Along the way, we can know the rejoicing of God's love in us. But we want to acknowledge how hard this is. And we prepared some words that Pastor Jen and I are going to share about where we can celebrate, but also lament that we can't be together in the way we will. And so join us as Pastor Jen begins.
How long, O Lord, must we be separated from one another? How long must we be sent with a call to gather? Today, Lord, our eyes look around this empty table, searching. We have neither bread, nor wine, nor congregation to feast with. And still you say to us,
all will be well. I am here with you.
God, we enter this holy week with a quiet stillness born from isolation and solitude. The suffering, death, and resurrection we will remember and encounter this week are not abstract ideas to us right now. We sense your calling into deeper waters where we are able to encounter the suffering and find it is not the end of the story. As we waver, Lord, your truths still reign.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We know you are still here, Lord. We know your abundant love. You are present in this empty sanctuary. You beckon to us in our homes. You are alive in our hospitals and in our communities that form online. And you are alive in our collective grieving. And so today, when we cannot be together around this table, cannot partake in the mystery of the bread and cup together, we still hope and seek ways of connection. So in prayer, Lord, we join before you in offering up this whole world to you, all the labor and sufferings of our beloved friends all across this globe, all the sorrow and heartache held deep within our souls and spirits.
Hold it all, Lord, just as you hold us.
Every morning, over there on the horizon, the sun touches the outermost fringes of the eastern sky, and the living surface wakes up, once again offering up light and life. O God, the harvest which will be won today by the renewal of our labor, the work of feeding our neighbors, teaching our young people, healing the sick, stocking the shelves, and caring for our most vulnerable. This breaking yields fruit, fruit which is crushed into streams of mercy. We pour out to you, O Lord, that which has been pressed out this day from the fruits of this labor.
This empty chalice and plate hold the yearning from the depths of our souls laid wide open to you, Lord. Open to the movement of your Spirit, Lord. Rising up from every corner of the earth, making ourselves fully available to your light and life in the midst of our suffering.
Your grace is more than enough for us, O Lord.
One by one, Lord, I see and love all those whom you have given me to sustain and enrich my life. One by one, I also number those who make up that wider, beloved family which has gradually surrounded me, its unity fashioned out of the most diverse elements, with shared affinities of the heart, of work, and of thought. And one by one, in our joint worldwide fight in this pandemic, I call before me the whole vast anonymous collection of living humanity, those who surround me and support me though I do not know them, those who come and those who go, those who in offices, laboratories, hospitals, factories, grocery stores, and unemployment offices, through their vision of truth, or even despite their error, truly believe in the potential of humanity, and who today will again take up their impassioned pursuit of the light.
We call before us all the things in the world to which this day will draw us closer to your will, God. We also confess all those which will diminish us. We tremble, Lord, as we recall all who will die. All, Lord, we lift before you all and seek your mercy. We cannot bear this alone. It is too much for us, God. Receive our broken hearts.
Your grace sustains us day by day, O Lord.
Receive, O Lord, our offering at the dawn of this holy week. We offer it on behalf of our fragmented and anguished world, crying out to you.
Heal us, Lord. Make us whole. Make us one.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to empty ourselves before you like this plate and cup. Fill us all now with the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Unite us in sharing in the feast of your love and initiate us into full participation this Holy Week. Teach us once more the grand story of our Master Jesus and his sacrificial love, that our hearts and our minds and our bodies would find you through our suffering, and you alone, Lord, we might feel revived to continue participating in your love made flesh here in the world, to have strength to raise our eyes for the good news of Easter morning. Be with us all, Lord, until we can join together in celebrating communion here again. May it be so. Amen.
Amen.
We now come to the time in our service where we are going to be having an offering. There are many ways to give that will be in the comments. You can give on our website. You can give through Realm if you're signed up with that. And you can also text to give. I think about UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. They go out to places where there are natural disasters, and they are certainly present with us during this pandemic. And what is so neat about them are two things. One, that 100% of what we give to them through our church, or you give to them directly, goes to the relief efforts. And the other amazing part, and is something that I hope we'll be about as Central and as United Methodists, is that after everybody's gone to take care of the emergency, they stay to sustain the care that is needed long after those emergency workers are gone, to help take care of people. So as you give today in that first mile giving of your tithing, as you're able to take care of the needs of this church and this community, we are so thankful for that. And as you're able to go to that second mile giving, we hope that you will give towards some of those efforts that we may be present throughout all of this world. And so whatever you're able to give, as you're able to give, certainly your presence is such a gift to us as well. We go now into a time of some contemplation as we think about what we can offer.
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Holy God, we shout Hosanna along with the crowd, and this chance we have to give our money is a grace of your salvation and a way to escape the self-focus that threatens to consume our lives. Please continue to open our hands and our hearts. Accept these gifts, O God, we pray. Amen.
Please join us in singing about welcoming God, following Him, and walking with Him.
Friends, we have a King of the universe who we get to follow, we get to walk with, whose love was poured out in Jesus, whose story on that Passion Week we live out this week. Join with us in this, and throughout the week, celebrate wherever you can. Sing a song, do a dance, whatever it takes, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen.
I did the one for my kids because I was like, these aren't peppy.
That one was great.
And praise songs are peppy. Yeah.
But people here don't sing those. Right. Because that one, that Selah thing, that's Hosanna, is amazing.
I'm going to go look for the Easter banner.
Does anyone have any good ideas for the palms? Because part of me will say put it in a bucket and take whoever, but I also want people to come together and put them out at distance on the thing for people to take any thoughts.
What if we just laid them out on the sidewalk?
Outside?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm open for whatever.
Just to remind the community of what today is.
Lay them out